Hello and welcome to episode 824 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Wednesday, March 6, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the Wednesday prayer by the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori, to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain deliverance from hell. O my most beloved Lady, I thank thee for having delivered me from hell as many times as I have deserved it by my sins. Miserable creature that I was once condemned to that prison, and perhaps already after the first sin, the sentence would have put into execution, if thou in thy compassion hadst not helped me. Thou, without even being asked by me, and only in thy goodness, didst restrain divine justice, and then conquering my obduracy, thou didst draw me to have confidence in thee. Oh, into how many other sins should I have afterwards fallen, in the dangers in which I have been, hadst not thou, my loving mother, preserved me by the graces which thou didst obtain for me. Ah, my queen, continue to guard me from hell, for what will thy mercy and the favors which thou hast shown me avail me if I am lost? If I did not always love thee, now at least, after God, I love thee above all things. Never allow me to turn my back on thee and on God, who by thy means has granted me so many graces. My most amiable Lady, never allow me to have the misfortune to hate thee and curse thee for all eternity in hell. Wilt thou endure to see a servant of thine who loves thee lost? O Mary, what sayest thou? I shall be lost if I abandon thee, but who can evermore have the heart to leave thee? How can I ever forget the love thou hast borne me? My Lady, since thou hast done so much to save me, complete the work, continue thy aid. Wilt thou help me? But what do I say? If at a time when I lived forgetful of thee, thou didst favor me so much, how much more may I not hope for now that I love thee and recommend myself to thee? No, he can never be lost who recommends himself to thee. He alone is lost who has not recourse to thee. Ah, my mother, leave me not in my own hands, for I should then be lost. Grant that I may always have recourse to thee. Save me, my hope, save me from hell, but in the first place, save me from sin, which alone can condemn me to it. We head back, friends, to fisheaters.com and Meditations for Lent by St. Thomas Aquinas, this for the third Wednesday, entitled The Price of Our Redemption. St. Thomas begins with 1 Corinthians 6:20. You are bought with a great price. The indignities and sufferings anyone suffers are measured according to the dignity of the person concerned. If a king is struck in the face, he suffers a greater indignity than does a private person. But the dignity of Christ is infinite, for he is a divine person. Therefore, any suffering undergone by him, even the least conceivable suffering, is infinite. Any suffering at all, then, undergone by him without his death, would have sufficed to redeem the human race. I think I should mention something here, then, about the majesty of God, the holiness of God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the thrice holy God, co-eternal, co-equal. So anything suffered by our Lord Jesus Christ, even the least conceivable suffering St. Thomas Aquinas is pointing to, is infinite because of who he is. He is love itself. Love himself would probably be a better way of putting it. Jesus is our Heavenly Father's merciful love, the remedy for sin. So any injustice, any suffering he undergoes is of infinite value. He's not an earthly king, although he is king of the earth. He's king of heaven and earth. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. St. Bernard says that the least drop of the blood of Christ would have sufficed for the redemption of us all. And Christ could have shed that one drop without dying. Therefore, even without dying, he could, by some kind of suffering, have redeemed, that is, bought back all mankind. Now, in buying, two things are required: an amount equal to the price demanded, and the assigning of that amount to the purpose of buying. For if a man gives a price that is not equal in value to the thing to be bought, we do not say that he has bought it, but only that he has partly bought it and partly been given it. For example, if a man buys for 10 shillings a book that is worth 20 shillings, he has partly bought the book and it has partly been given to him. Or again, if he puts together a greater price but does not assign it to the buying, he's not said to buy the book. If therefore, when we speak of the redemption and buying back of the human race, we have in view the amount of the price, we must say that any suffering undergone by Christ, even without his death, would have sufficed, because the infinite worth of his person. If, however, we speak of the redemption with reference to the setting of the price to the purpose in hand, we have then to say that no other suffering of Christ less than his death was set by God and by Christ as the price to be paid for the redemption of mankind. And this was so for three reasons. Number one, that the price of our redemption should not only be infinite in value, but be of the same kind as to what it bought, i.e., that it should be with a death that he bought us back from death. In other words, it's fitting what our Lord went through. Not only is our Lord's death infinite in his value, in its value, but it's of the same kind, to save us from the death caused by sin. Because of our sins, he undergoes death. Death, in terms of sin, in terms of mortal sin, causes a spiritual death that is infinite. There's no such thing as annihilation. That's a heresy to teach that the souls of the damned are annihilated, they go out of existence. The souls of the damned suffer permanently and perpetually. That is what is meant by eternal death. So to save us from that, to save us and give us the opportunity by his grace to go to heaven, he suffers a physical death, because it's what he's bought us back from. To save us from that spiritual death, he undergoes a physical death. Number two, that the death of Christ would be not only the price of our redemption, but also an example of courage, so that men would not be afraid to die for the truth. St. Paul makes mention of this and the preceding cause when he says that through death he might destroy him who had the empire of death. This is the first cause. And might deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to servitude. This for the second cause, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. St. Paul says our Lord is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, friends. He shows great courage. And how many martyrs down throughout the ages have taken our Lord's example and put it into their own lives to die for him, to die for the church, because the bride and the bridegroom can never be separated, to die for the truth, and he is truth incarnate. He is our captain, and he shows us tremendous courage. He is courage itself in what he went through. Number three, that the death of Christ might be a sacrament to work our salvation, we, that is, dying to sin, to bodily desires and to our own will, through the power of the death of Christ. These reasons are given by St. Peter when he says, Christ, who died once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might offer us to God, being put to death indeed in the flesh, but enlivened in the spirit. 1 Peter 3:18. And so it is that mankind has not been redeemed by any other suffering of Christ without his death. But as a matter of fact, Christ would have paid sufficiently for the redemption of mankind, not only by giving his own life, but by suffering any suffering, no matter how slight, if this slight suffering had been the thing divinely appointed, and Christ would thereby have paid sufficiently because of the infinite worth of his person. So ends the meditation. So once again, to emphasize this important fact, any suffering Jesus would have gone through would have been enough to redeem mankind because of the majesty of his person, who he is. God in the flesh, the God-man, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. But it's fitting, and he shows his love for us by how much he suffered, the excruciating manner of his death, literally pouring himself out for us, the blood and water that comes out of his body when he's pierced with the lance. This love is incomprehensible, the love that God has for me and for you, that he holds nothing back in the way he loves us. He pours out himself literally on the cross for us. It's beyond words. Words fail when trying to describe how much God loves us. Let's always remember that, especially during this time of Lent, a time of penance, a time to reflect on what sins we are committing, going to confession, confessing those sins, turning away from them, aided by God's grace, doing better in our lives to avoid those sins and the near occasion of sin, and redoubling our efforts in this chaotic time that we're living in the world to love God, to honor the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph and all the angels and saints, to turn away from a vicious life and turn toward a virtuous life, developing good habits and saying goodbye to the bad habits. This is what Lent is about, but above all else, it's making a renewed effort, aided by God's grace, to love him with the entirety of our heart, mind, and strength. Let's conclude, friends, with the prayer for the conversion of the Jews. O God, who dost also manifest thy omnipotence by mercy and compassion, listen to the prayers we offer up for the enlightenment of the unbelieving, perfidious Jews, that they may acknowledge the light of thy truth, which is Christ, and may be saved from their blindness. Grant, we beseech thee, all-powerful God, that the remnant of the Jewish people may walk in the way of salvation, and by following the preaching of the blessed John, thy precursor, they may safely come to him whom he foretold, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. There's also a 300 days indulgence associated with that prayer of Holy Mother Church. Helping autism through learning and outreach is what I'd like to mention next. halo-soma.org on the web. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That's an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, and that of her family breaking through to open communication, we know that she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. RPM has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread this information far and wide. I have had the pleasure of being in touch with several non-speakers who have broken through to open communication, and they're some of the most kind, interesting, and compassionate folks you can ever meet in your entire life. And you wonder how many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, who knows how many people are out there like these great people that I've met, and they have so much to offer to the world, but they're trapped without the ability to communicate. Communication is a human right. RPM is taking these souls out of the prison of silence that they're locked in, getting them into the world of open communication where they rightfully belong. Thank you so much for your efforts in this regard. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.